You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So I had a basis already before I went to the Latin stuff. And when I hit drums, I went conga and tumbali. I didn't know. Yeah, this was all new to me other than the rehearsal. So that's what led to that. And I started playing. And then one, I started with a Latin band and this Latin band. And before you know it, I was playing with this band. What's the name? I think we were talking about it earlier. Hank Canales, he was a. I played my dudes before that with the local guys, and nobody, they, people, if I were to mention their name, people would know him. And those are my stepping stones. So me and Gilberto Colon, we played with these others, you know, all elderly guys, and that was our stomping ground. You know, you're young, you got to learn somebody, learn the stuff from somebody. So we were doing that. And then this guy, Hank Canales, had a band, and the trombone player recommended me. And he says to me, hey, Pete, there's an opening in the band for baritone, which I said, I'd like to audition. I auditioned, and I got the gig. And that's when I started getting really tight with Max Salazar. And Max Salazar was my angel in heaven. And I was he has a radio show, and writer, have all his writings, every bit of it. And he had a thing called Sideman's Corner on the magazine that's in the Latin New York. And every week, just like we're doing here, he would take nobody that anybody would know, and he would just write on them. And that's what he did on here. It was my day in the barrel. So he did a story of me, and then by coincidence, of all people, I'm doing Canales, and Canales was hot. He, at the time, the band was hot, and I just happened to go there again. God is good. I just lucked out, and I was there I did four or five albums with him, and I just lucked out because he got hotter and hotter, and man, we were every place. And then, of all people, never expected Max, who, you know, is a journalist, mm-hmm. a writer like yourself, and he says to me, he called me up. We used to hang. I used to go to his house. He says, you know, he and my Machito was super tight. He was always having dinner at Macho's house and all that. And he said, I mean, Pete, there's an opening on the Macho band. And he says, right now it's on tenor. Would you like this? And I said, I know you're a baritone player primarily, you know, but this one. And, would you like me to hook you up? I go, yeah. Now, I'm with Canales. We were working like crazy. We played the first Madison Square Garden La Salsa Festival, and Angel came down on the rope. It was a great training. I had great training. And so he got me an audition, and I went to the audition, and I got accepted. I was playing now with Machito. Now I knew what I was doing. Oh, my God, this is I'm playing with Machito. The man, Charlie Parker, everybody's playing. This is an icon, And I'm playing with Machito, and then deep down I told Macho, it's an honor to play with you, sir. I said, but you know, I'm a Barry player. And then again, the baritone player was Leslie Janikens. This is Leslie Janikens. And he was my idol. And everybody's idol. He was with Macho for over four. Jose Madera's father was on that same band, and I got good friends with him. So that was my idol. He was still playing the band. I would never step on his toes. I could never play close to what he was doing. But I said, one day, if I'm here, then he retires. I'm going to try to sneak into that chair. And while I was playing the tenor, I remember we were doing a show with Gorgita Guillo in right near Roseland. And I'm a brand new kid in the band, you know, I'm playing, and I'm next to Leslie, and in those days, you know, I used to not drink a lot, but I used to, you know, drink a lot, and the little that I know that Leslie used to drink a lot. So I'm in the back room before the show or after an intermission, and he tells me, and he said, "Oh, you sound good, kid." I go, "Thank you, sir." And I told him how much I admire him, and which I did. I love this man. Guy looked this high. He had the biggest son on the baritone. I respect him so much. Just like he did everybody else, you know. And so we were doing the show with Ogita Guillo, and we had an intermission like an hour and a half. I'll never forget. Next to Victor's Cafe. I forget the name of the place. Right? But anyway, and then now I got drunk. I was in the back with Leslie. Here I am with my idol, and he had Southern Comfort in his jacket. And he's taking a hand. "Have a drink." I go, "Okay." I'm drinking with my idol. I got so smashed. I didn't get stupid. I didn't fall up, but I don't know what I was. I was spaced out. He was like, nothing. The old man was drinking like this. What he does, that's his after.
Used to it.
That's his aftershave or something.
Exactly.
And I went to play, and I couldn't play. It was so embarrassing. But the old man kept me anyway. He knew I was hanging. And that night, when I came home, I couldn't wait to tell Lucy. You know, my wife. I said, "Ma, I played with Leslie, and I got drunk with my idol." And a few years later, he passed on. The old man, Amacho, put me in. And I was there, man. I think 78 or 79, I joined. I was in that band from 79, I think, to 83. Man, and I got to play. I mean, he's the first one that took me to Europe. I don't know what Europe was. I mean, I knew what Europe was, but to live off of this and, oh, man. And in those days, like we talk, I was telling you before, so that they typecast musicians, you know, we're womanizers and it's not all true. You know, there's a lot of good guys, you know, and good ladies players. So, I remember when we used to go with Macho, we would go out for a month or two on the road. And talking about Euro, and that's before, I should say before planes, but before planes could hook you up to go to the other plane. And in those days, you would initially fly into Amsterdam or England, and hello, the rest is old buses. Bus 18 hours, 14 hours, you know, and that's before you had the Euro. And so you used to come into a town, and, you know, you had to have different currency. Now it's so used to, a lot of times we'd be in the bus 14 hours, and then we pull up the bus driver. We don't know. We go in, the guy said, "That money's no good." And they start speaking some other language, you know. So that was my biggest training days with Macho. And till today, you know, like I said, I'm 72. And it's just luck. I mean, I said, Jesus. I mean, I feel like I've had my downs and ups, but man, it's good. It feels so good that, I mean, everything used to fall. I got into Macho's band, and how many guys can boast? I mean, there have been hundreds of guys playing in that band. Well, dude, I mean, they deserve to be there. And then when I got there, it was my turn to talk, to speak. And I got to be on an album with him. And he had died. We did the album in 82. And how many times, how many people, again, I'm luck. This is luck. It's enough to do. I mean, talent, I think. I think that would be, my wife said, you know, you are talented. I said, I appreciate it. But, man, to be on an album with Machito, with Chocolate, and Victor Paz, and all these great players. And I'm 30 now, 35 or something like that. And I'm in the freaking front album. I'm in there, and that's a picture's a thousand words. And then I get featured on one of the albums, on one of the. I mean, what more can I ask for? I mean, I was my head was spinning, and then to make a long story short, you know, I mean, I can talk for hours. And on top of it, we won the Grammy. We won the Grammy. I mean, I'm on the cover. I'm with Macho. Yo, what's up? And I won the Grammy, and again, I had that plaque from the Grammy, the other Grammy, but I mean, that's it, I couldn't ask for better things.
So then after Machito, what did you do?
After Machito, oh, let me real fast. I got to tell you this about Macho. Macho. I could talk about Macho was the groomer. I can't say one was great, but I can. I think I can. Macho and Tito. I've worked for everybody. I mean, in, you're 72. You got to work for you more or less. I Cheetah Rivera, Ben Vereen. I worked for everybody. But those two guys, man, nobody will ever. I mean, I keep working with different groups. And not I'm not downing all the people I've worked for. No, they're good. A lot of guys. And some not so good.
I understand.
But these two guys. And I was lucky because I did it, Macho, and I got the Grammy. And not I, we got the band got the Grammy thanks to him. And his, I mean, it open car, we went to London, we went to Brussels, every part of France. And that a kid from Manhattan, you know, I'm not paying for nothing. And what is, we go to Italy, we go to Florence, we go, oh my God. But they were the most beautiful human beings. Whoever listens to this, and those are the two most beautiful human beings, you know, like that I've ever met them, that I work for, that made me feel so humble and so honored to pay them. They weren't, they didn't look in the mirror, combing their face. It wasn't about me, meaning them. You're here because of me or a singer. We know that's our job. We back up singers, you know. Okay, you're here. And even the singer, a lot of times you'll wait for somebody, you'll never talk to him or her. The guy's going to pay, you know. But Macho, he was a people person. Macho, if we'd be in France playing at some jazz club, he'd be talking to the porter. The guy's mopping the floor. But that's the kind of guy, and I love people like that. That's the way I am. He just loves, and Tito was the same way. You know, and it's funny, when Macho died, I didn't make that tour. I was so pissed. The tour came up and I couldn't do it in 83. Right after we got the Grammy. And he died in the hotel. And I missed it. And I cried like a baby. And it's funny. I did the same thing. Then, what is it? Thanks for guys in the band. Your Mary Rivera. Your Mitch Froman. So my good boys. And I love these guys dearly. I miss Mario a lot. They always recommend, you know, your name gets around. It's like any field. If you're a doctor or you're, you know, oh, this guy's good. You go to a dentist, this guy's good. So, you know, been doing, I had already done it so many years. I mean, you call Pete, he's a good baritone. So I got recommended into Tito that way. And I got in subbing for either Mary or subbing for Mitch or Bobby, because Bobby had played Barry on some of those things. And I got into that way. And the same thing. It's funny, we talk about how much I and if I talk too much about Puente, because I can talk for hours about both of them and other guys, that, man, they were so special that, and my wife knows me, like, who knows me better than my wife, that when he died, I felt so bad. But when we were with Tito, I tell you the story, this means so much to me, this one story. I had been in the band, I think, 4 or 5 years or six, I forget how many. But he did something that has never been done. He had music written for a symphony and the Latin jazz, which is us, who was seven horns. And he wrote, you know, he had music written. Sonny wrote some stuff. Madera wrote some stuff for the symphony. And the thing is, not only it's the symphony. We went on tour and we played, again, thanks to Tito, we played the Pittsburgh Symphony. Cleveland Symphony, the Toledo Symphony, Toledo's. We did like a string of symphonies in California. We did in the Hollywood Bowl. We did that symphony, and it was such an honor to play. And you look back, and there's 125 people behind me and behind. And we're so proud, and the young man got us here, and. The reason I say that I got, like they say, verklempt. Mm-hmm. I got tongue, I got, when I talk about this particular time, we, of all things, you know, again, God is good. It got to the point, the last symphony, we've done a string of six, I think, the seventh one, guess where it was? It was the Puerto Rican symphony, and we're excited. We're going to play with the homeboys. Mm-hmm. They're the real McGillers. I mean, they're great plays with it, but now this is...
Yeah,
this is more personal now. Of course, yeah. You know, Hispanic, Puerto Ricans, whatever. And we played the show with them. And in between the session, in between the break, and I strike me dead. I mean, I'm not making this up. We walking in the hall before we go on again to do the next half. And he told me, but not just me, in general, I think there were four of us in the band that happened to be standing. He said, when we go... And whoever hears this is the truth. He tells us, you know, when I get, and this is because, oh, he only said that with the Puerto Rican symphony. It was so funny because they really played the way we had to play all the Spanish music, but play correctly. You know, they play with a very, it's like a blinders on a horse. They play it correctly, but not correctly. You know, I always say when I have students, you need the grease. You know, like when your mother makes it, some people use recipe, but Gumbam just takes a handful of rice and this, and it comes out better than she'll ever do it. So when he got to the point, we took a break, he says to us in the break, when we go back to New York, I swear to God, I remember, he says, we're going to record this. We're going to record the Puerto Rican symphony and the Tito Puente Orchestra. And I go, whoa, yes. I was in heaven again. I'm always in heaven with him. With these other my guys that I've loved, because him you loved, and that same night we finished the concert, and after we finished the stupid it got stupid then, I mean I felt afterward it was great, and all the years with him and Macho I experienced that thing. There was always a bus in the back that takes us back to the hotel. And Macho, and Tito, and a lot of guys, like Deepika, and Sonny, and a lot of those guys. People come, and Finland, we used to play Helsinki. I'll never forget all these people with blue eyes, blonde hair. There's not one, they don't speak English, they don't speak Spanish. But they all had an armful of albums. And I remember that coming off the plane with Macho and Tito. And Tito was the same. You know, I always said to my boy that we're not taking advantage of the old man. They come to see him. Some of them know us through the people who dig music. Oh, that's so-and-so. They come to see the man. So I respect that because I play with the man, you know? So here we're getting into the bus. But Tito, the last, I say that this is so important. We get into the bus and I look at the bus before and there was... Man, he's there with that great smile he had, that fantastic smile that the kid has, the junior has, the same. I said, you got your father's smile, bro. And the same personality. His father couldn't do no harm. So he's telling, and we're in the bus, looking at the old man, everybody in the
bus. He's signing albums?
And he's there because people come, just like they're macho. These are idols, people that... Older people,
revered him.
They're in the 50s and maybe 40, late 40s. And I respect that. And they did that for Macho too, so I'm used to it now. And he's there signing, hey, what's your name? And we pull out. We're even behind because they always take him back in the limo or something. Man, I swear to God, I know. I don't believe. I got to the hotel. And the next morning, literally the next morning, I get up, I go have breakfast, and I eat the paper. And I see Tito Puente rush to the hospital. I go, wow, we just finished playing it 12 hours ago. And he was good. Then I called Johnny Dandy, you know, Johnny at the, because he was the straw boss, our boss. I said, Johnny, I think I woke him up. I said, the old man is in the hospital. What happened? He said, I don't know. So he got up, and so he went to the hospital. What happened? He was signing autographs, and signing the autographs, they said he had trouble breathing. He didn't pass out, but they took it upon themselves to take him to the hospital. This is the true story. This is not. I heard. This is the truth. he was signing autographs, supposedly, and he couldn't breathe. He had a hard time, so they rushed him to the hospital to make sure he's okay. They took him in the hospital, and then what we heard was that there's something wrong with his heart. Johnny said the doctor said there's something wrong with his heart, and that he should go back to New York, which we were going back to New York, and he should see his heart specialist. And we had a trip going to Europe again. So his wife, you know, Margie killed it, which is right. We said, no, we want the old man to be safe. So she said, well, the doctor said he's got to take a month off till he gets healthy, and then they're going to operate him. And, you know, and he's going to, so we played a few gigs without him. We had guest artists. Paquito de Rivera led the band for, I think we had about 4 or 5 gigs, maybe not even that. But I do remember, like it is today, and I'm here talking to you. It's my wife, who still works downtown. I get in the car, because every morning I drove her to the subway, and I start. You know how you start the car, and you usually have your station set, and I listen to jazz station. So this is like in the movies. I turn, the car starts, and the first word out of the guy is Tito Puente dies. And we had heard he was under the table. I meant to say that before this. I said this. That's the day they were operating him. And his wife said, and she was only told this, he's going to be fine. And I put on the car, and then the ADH, Tito Puente dies. I go, I don't know what to do. It's like 7:30 in the morning. I take Lucy to work. And she started to come down the steps, and she looks at me in the car like something's wrong. So she calls one of my sons upstairs. And he says, something's wrong with your father. And my son ran to the car, and they had to take me out. I didn't pass out, but I was in shock. I don't believe he's dead. I mean, he has some. They told us he was going to be. We believe what we heard, and we heard later on that he was too far gone, and I guess whatever. He died, you know. But getting to emotional about that's why those two guys is special, because you know, I'm half a comic. They always tell me that Peter's the party of the. You know, I'm always the guy with all the jokes, whether they're clean or they're dirty, and I used to do voices and all that. And Tito was like that. He used to tell me to do a visit. I had to do 2 minutes of Vicentico Valdez, and he would get hysterical. I did it just to see his smile, and he had a great laugh. He laughed real loud. He didn't care where he was. So, and then I used to bring Spike Jones, which famous band leaders, that they made fun of music and the shootings and the cigars. He says, hello, and these two guys shot. And he knew I liked it. So I used to bring it for him. And he would be sleeping in the plane, and you hear this great laughter. He'd be there for laughing. He don't give a shit who's sleeping. And I look at it. I know that's my CD. And he goes to me. And I just want to sleep. He's such a great cat, man. And it always happens. I always say that, and I talk. I said musician. I tell musicians, but I always take students how important it is. The reason I think I was crazy about Macho and him is because when you work for a sideman who was a sideman at one time, it's a different than when you work for a so-called singer or somebody who had just went right there and everything was made for them, and they spent money with CDs or records. They were made up there. But these guys, Macho, didn't have a band when he was in Cuba. He was part of a band. So he suffered like us. Puente, too. But he wasn't just Tito Puente. He was a side man. If you read enough story, he was 15. He was child protege, him and his sister dancing. So he played. So that rubbed off. He taught. He treated us like he wanted to be treated. It wasn't that he said, I'm Tito Puente. No, he was one of us. So he was always flew with us, always stayed with us in the same hotel. You know, that's the best part when you work for what you call a side man. And getting back to it, so when he died, a couple of days later, they had him down at 70, a block. In
right spot. Where you grew up.
Yeah.
I know that.
And that 77 of the block Amsterdam. That's where my music career started when I was in Amsterdam, right? And that's the school I started to learn how to play flute. It has a big turnaround. So we're going up, and there's a line to Central Park. There's a line to Central Park, and all of a sudden, you know, which is great, the whole immediate family and the band. And me, Ray Vega, the guys who were there, the band, Mario, Mitch, all of us. And they took us, I was, you know, aligned to Central Park, and we went in with the family. And my Lucy went with me, of course. And that's how, you know, my wife is the greatest person there is. She knows me. I keep saying 72, I'm still going. But when you're 72, you go, you've been to a lot of wakes. I've been to a trillion wakes, whether family wakes or me saying, I've gone to a lot of wakes, man. A guy just died, right? So I've been to a lot of wakes. So she told me, and I've been to a lot of me saying, I went to everybody I got.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.